Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your mind, something bugging you, and you'd like to talk about it, this is a good opportunity. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Got a call? Give us a call right now. Got a question? 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We introduced the subject of rest yesterday. It's a very important subject as far as the Word of God is concerned, and it's something that we're all looking toward. We want that. We desire it. We want to experience rest. And it's interesting when you look at the Word of God, there's a number of words that are translated, a number of Greek words that are translated rest in the English language in Matthew chapter 11. And this is a wonderful invitation that Jesus extends to all who labor and are heavy laden. And he says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So here's an invitation from Jesus to anyone who is heavy laden and who is laboring. He's saying, if that's you, I'm going to give you rest. Now, the word rest in this particular verse is a word that means inner tranquility. So we want some inner tranquility. We want a sense of contentment in our lives as we go about our lives. So this isn't necessarily a cessation of labor, a stopping of doing something. This is an inner tranquility in the midst of everyday living.
Yes.
And boy, is that something that we all long for.
Yeah.
I want to have some inner tranquility. I mean, our minds just race. They're just going all over the place. We can't get focused. We can't, you know, it's just difficult in this crazy world in which we live in today. But if we come unto Jesus, and if our dependence is upon Jesus, we're going to find an inner tranquility for the soul. And boy, is that good news. That's something that we all want. Now, in the book of Hebrews, and we talked about this yesterday, he said there's a promise of rest that still remains. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two different words that the writer of Hebrews uses in that passage in Hebrews chapter 4. The first word conveys the meaning of ceasing from your works, just as God ceased from his.
Mm-hmm.
So God created, and after 6 days of creation, he stopped. Why? Because his work was finished. And for us, there comes a time in our lives when we have to just give up the fight of trying to earn righteousness through good works. We need to lay those down and rest in what Christ has accomplished for us. So there's a word for that. It's the act of resting or ceasing from labor. And that promise is available to all. How do we receive that? By faith. As we learn to rest in the finished work of Christ, then we're going to cease from our works. If we understand that Christ's death on the cross took away our sins once and for all, then we're going to stop trying to do stuff to get rid of our sins as far as God is concerned. We're going to lay those labors down. And then the second word that he uses is the word for Sabbath.
Yeah.
And that's an eternal rest with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's this relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ, that we're at rest. We're experiencing this eternal rest with God. And that's really the end result of the gospel.
Yes.
When we fully believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're invited into relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And as we enjoy that, that enjoyment is this eternal rest. It's a divine rest. It's a gift of God to you and me. And so if you're looking for inner tranquility, come unto Jesus. You're going to find rest for your souls. If you are tired of the religious rat race, of doing all the things just to you know, rise up the spiritual ladder, put those works to bed. They're not necessary. Jesus Christ has accomplished everything that needed to be accomplished so that you could experience forgiveness and righteousness today. If you are, you know, trying to find meaning and purpose in life, realize that you have it in Jesus and enjoy that divine rest, that Sabbath rest that he has given you in Christ. And that's what rest really means. That's what we long for. If you're wanting rest for your soul, we invite you to call right now at 844-322-2742. That's a number again, 844-322-2742. Talk about some of the struggles that you've had, how you found rest for your soul through faith in Jesus Christ, or if you're struggling today, let's talk about it on today's edition of Basic Gospel.
It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. And remember, friends, that we have a special gift for you when you give this month to help fill up a $25,000 matching gift that we've received. Every dollar you give to support the message you hear every day on Basic Gospel will be doubled. And when you make your April gift, we'll send you a copy of Simply Grace, the Simply Grace gift package. Three resources to strengthen your faith and help deepen your understanding of the love of God. Request yours when you click donate at basicgospel.net or when you call, as Bob said, 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, and it's open right now. We'd love to hear from you, Bob.
Yes, we would. And I want to say, as far as this $25,000 matching gift challenge is going, we've had a lot of great momentum here in the last 3 or 4 days. We want to keep that momentum going, and we would love to see this matching grant met by the end of this month.
Yeah.
So if you could give an additional $50 or $100 or $500 this particular month over and above what you normally give to Basic Gospel, or if you've never given and you want to participate, give today.
Wow.
And let's meet this challenge. Let's help extend the reach of this ministry to many new areas, the first being the Atlanta, Georgia area on our great affiliate there, WDWD. AM 590, Faith Talk Live. It's just a wonderful, wonderful radio station. So that's where our first growth was this year.
Yeah.
And we want to grow into many other places as well. So let's meet this $25,000 matching grant challenge. These don't come along very often.
Yeah.
So when they do, let's take advantage of it. So your gift of $50 today, you're doubling your impact. It's like a $100 gift you're giving. So be generous. Let's meet this by the end of April.
Yeah. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or call your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And it's available for your questions right now, as a matter of fact. And Bob, you mentioned Atlanta. Had a question from Phil, who listens on our new affiliate. He says, I have a question concerning the time of the judgment of the church. Recently, I heard two ministers say that the judgment of believers would take place during the tribulation period. I'd never heard that before. Is there any evidence for that? And where can it be found? Thank you for your wonderful program, and keep up the great work. That's from Phil in Atlanta.
Well, I don't know that I've ever heard that either,
no,
that judgment happens during the tribulation. We know there's a great white throne judgment. We know there's a Bema seat judgment, which is for believers. So the great white throne judgment, we all are going to appear, but there's a judgment of the dead. And their names are not found in the book of life.
Yeah.
Ours are found in the book of life. We just, you know, our judgment is eternal life.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good judgment.
Pretty good judgment.
That's a pretty good judgment. Now, as far as the Bema seat is concerned, that's where, quote, rewards are talked about. And it's based on how we've built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus. So did we do it through the energy of the flesh? Did we rely on worldly building materials to build upon the foundation of Christ, or did we use heavenly building materials?
Yeah.
And but we're going to be able to see that. I think that's going to be a glorious judgment. It's not one that we need to be afraid of, need to be frightened by. That's when we get to see exactly how God has used us in this world in which we live today. And I think that's going to be pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
So as far as believers are concerned, there's nothing to fear in anything as far as judgment. The judgment for our sins already went upon Jesus. So there's therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. So our eternal judgment is going to be eternal life. And then we'll get to see how God used us. Can't beat that.
No, you can't. And usually these kinds of questions come up because somebody like this, like he did,
Phil,
heard something that turned his whole thinking pattern into behavior. Have I been good enough? I mean, how would God judge the church during the tribulation? Is that why? Because the tribulation is going to pound on the church, and that was God's judgment? I mean, those kinds of questions, those kinds of statements are always behavior-based, as if there is something I can do to impress God, not to whack me with a 2x4 at some point in time. I can't do anything like that. We've got to leave the behavior alone and focus solely on the victory of Jesus so that his life can infuse our lives, overflow from us to other people, and the behavior literally takes care of itself because it is spirit-led. Do we struggle with the flesh? Of course we do. But there's no need to give in to the flesh anymore. Before, that's the only option we have. Now we can walk by grace through faith, and there is no judgment. Therefore, there is no condemnation, because Jesus took both of those things, our judgment and our condemnation. And not only did he forgive us for everything, but he credited us with his righteousness and his eternal life. You're not going to get any better than that.
No,
there is
not.
Nothing to fear.
Yeah, nothing to fear whatsoever. And there's a great verse in 1 John chapter 4, and I think it would be worthwhile just reading this particular passage.
Yeah.
So it talks about judgment and how we can have confidence on the day of judgment. It says in verse 17, By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So the perfect love that's been poured out on us in Christ Jesus is the very love that cast away all of our fear. Why? Because it tells us that punishment went on Jesus and that none will fall on us. And so we don't have to fear this day of judgment. We can have confidence on this day of judgment. And listen to this, because as he is, yeah, Jesus, so also are we in this world. He's the Son of God. We're his brothers and sisters in Christ, and so we're going to be treated exactly as Jesus,
yes,
is treated. He was glorified, seated at the right hand of God the Father. We're going to be glorified. We're going to share in that glory, and we too are going to dwell in God's presence forever. That's our judgment. Not bad.
I'll say, not bad at all. That's basic gospel, everybody.
That shows good judgment.
It does. Really good judgment. Well, 844-322-2742 is open right now. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. Bob Davis with you, and we're glad that you've joined us. 844-322-2742 from Seattle, Washington. A new listener, Lula, wrote to us. She says, now listen to this. Thanks for your program. I have real life now because of it. Real life, she says, begins when we are born again. Some people say we have to continue to repent. What are we repenting from? When do we repent? That's from Lula in Seattle.
Well, repentance, when you look at that word in the New Testament, the greatest majority of the time it's used, it's in this conversion process.
Mm-hmm.
So repentance, faith, being born again, all of that is part of that, quote, salvation package.
Yes.
When we go from death to life, and we're so grateful that she has gone from death to life and is experiencing,
yes,
real life right now, and we were grateful to be a part of that, to be able to share this good news and have her hear it and respond to that. So we're very grateful. That's always an exciting moment for us here at Basic Gospel. But the idea of repentance is moving from one way of life into another way of life. So we came into this world in one way of life. We followed the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We were dead spiritually. That was our earthly way of life. And then Jesus kind of enters into that way, that world, that realm of darkness. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. And through this gospel message, we see that there's a different way of life. And responding to Jesus, we turn from that old way of life and enter into a new way of life. Oh. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So that's repentance. And that's all involved in that salvation process. Now, as far as believers are concerned, our minds are always going to be being renewed, centering them in this new way of life.
Yes.
So it's not like I have to keep repenting, going from death to life, or going from unforgiveness to forgiveness. That all happened the moment we were born again. But this continual repentance, so to speak, it's not so much a formula, but it's part of the process of renewing our minds.
Yes.
So that our minds, what we think, this soulish part of man, our mind, our emotions, our will, get totally in line with this new way of life that we're in as far as faith in Christ Jesus. So that's what repentance is. It's a big word. It's a process word. It's not a formula word. It's mm-hmm. not, hey, I sinned, I need to repent of it. You know, I just flash up, Lord, I repent of that. That's not what the word means at all. It's a much bigger word. It's an engaging word. It's a word that is really a part of the discipleship process, isn't it? It's a constant hearing the good news of Jesus, being challenged on whether we really believe, you know, different aspects of this good news, and then learning to live it out. That's what discipleship is all about, and repentance, the renewing of the mind, the changing of the mind, the centering of our mind, emotion, and will in this new life in Christ is all a part of that, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And so often what we hear is, oh, you need to repent of your sins. Well, based on the definition you just gave, that would mean that if I was sinning, then I was focused on my sin, and to repent, I need to change my mind with regards to that bad behavior and focus on good behavior. Notice where that leaves you, straight to the base of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, I don't want to sin anymore. I want to behave better. And I look at the behavior, and I look at the behavior, and the focus doesn't help me a bit. It's the wrong focus. That's why we're so adamant here about changing from unbelief or belief in myself to belief in Jesus, so that this mind change can begin to happen as the Spirit works in us and through us. It is not a behavioral issue. It's a belief and thinking and faith issue, and then the behavior follows. Never start with the behavior, or you will be terribly frustrated.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Well, it is basic gospel. And Richard, talk to our listeners a little bit about what Bob and I were talking about. You know, we have opportunities in front of us. We have this wonderful new station in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have a $25,000 matching gift offer. Talk to our listeners a little bit about the importance of this.
Well, it's as simple as this. We get this opportunity. We've decided to go forward with it. Our board is fully engaged in this. You know, we don't just do these things willy-nilly. And then someone says, well, here's a $25,000 matching gift. And if you look at it and we meet it, we've just paid for the whole first year of broadcasting in Atlanta. That's the kind of response that we need to make these sorts of things possible, because it takes a while for an audience in a given city to build.
To grow, yeah.
Yeah, they hear us, they start talking to their friends, more people hear us, people start donating.
And it's a trust issue.
It's a trust issue, yeah. They need to know who we are, what we teach, and why, and that takes a bit of time.
Sure.
Because we can't do this face-to-face. We're doing it over the air or through a computer. Other opportunities, exist out there. We know of opportunities in various cities around the country. Mm-hmm. And all of them are just sitting there on the shelf waiting for this kind of thing to happen. We're not going to push out there and then demand that you pay for it. We're going to do this as wisely as we can by grace through faith. And when the decision is made and then somebody follows up with a, let's get this first year paid for, we're going to go for
it. Yeah, you bet.
And so the privilege of working the way we work is that the pressure is off. We don't have to come to you and say, you know, we've made a couple of really bad decisions, and therefore we're $8 million in the hole.
No.
'Cause that, how does that help anybody? It doesn't. And it causes guilt, and we don't want to do guilt. So we have this particular offering available in Atlanta. People are starting to respond. We have friends in Atlanta already. They're talking to their friends. Help us pay this first year and see what happens, because when the first year is paid for, the next years begin to take care of themselves.
Absolutely.
It's just that easy.
Well, again, it's a $25,000 matching gift offer, and so every dollar that you give will be doubled. I had a question from Jennifer, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app concerning 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 through 7. She says, my spouse and I attend a couples meeting. Last week, some of the men spoke negatively about strong-willed women. I personally believe God gave me a strong will for my protection, and it's connected to discernment. Could you talk about this passage, 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 7, and the message or the passage talking about women not teaching or having authority over men and learning quietly, as I think the wrong idea can cause misconceptions of the Christian worldview?
Well, that passage in 2 Timothy 3 is in the context of the last days. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. So
yes.
That sounds a lot like the world today. And then it says, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And that's kind of the world in which we live in. Mm-hmm. There are folks that are always going to be seeking, waiting for their ship to come in, and they'll never get settled on any one thing. It's kind of like I was when I was in high school and college. Somebody would invite me to do something on a Friday night, and I would be noncommittal because I thought maybe something better might come along. And so you're always looking for that something better, and that's what this is talking about. And there are people that are going to take advantage of those, or they're going to creep in, and they're going to take advantage of these women. And they're weak in the sense that they're not standing on a solid rock.
Correct.
They haven't found the knowledge of the truth, and they're denying the power of godliness. And so it's deceiving and being deceived and that sort of thing. So that's what this passage is all about. So if you're a strong-willed woman, it means you have a solid standing.
Yeah,
so
yes.
Don't back away from that. Be who God created you to be.
Thank you, Jennifer, for your call, and I hope that is a help to you. Friends, I want to reiterate what we were talking about, that we can turn a $25,000 gift into $50,000. It's an amazing thing, but with your help, it can happen, because every dollar you give toward that will be doubled. This basic gospel message needs to reach new areas and new listeners with the truth of God's love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. And if we work together, we can make that happen. $25,000 becoming $50,000, and we can get things paid for. And we really appreciate all of you who partner with us here at Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for Basic Gospel today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.